Thank you. So sweet. Thank y'all. Happy New Year, y'all. Y'all. I almost wore my cowboy boots, too. And I was like, Lord, you know when you get dressed, sometimes it's like a prophetic exercise? Like Anne Marie expresses tons of creativity in the way she dresses all the time. She's in camo tonight. And I was getting dressed, and I was putting this on and this, and I had all this other turquoise on, and I was about to put on my cowboy boots, and I was like, and that's like what I wear to the rodeo. And I was like, Lord, why am I dressing like this? This is so weird. And I immediately heard him say, because 2019 is about to be a wild ride, and you better hold on. And I don't know if you can feel it, but there truly is like a shift happening. Like even in this place, even in walking in, and we didn't get to be here last week, but there is something that's happening, and the Lord is shifting and breakthrough, and there's massive acceleration, and he wants to take us into a new place, a new territory, a new land. And the word that I want to preach tonight, it really is more of a prophetic message of where I've been, of a season that I've been in, some things that he's been doing, some things that he's been teaching me in, and it's more than the words that I say tonight. It really is more about the impartation that's attached to the message. And I actually trust more in the impartation that Holy Spirit wants to give you much more than the words that I'm going to say. So I totally trust that you have ears to hear. You know, the Bible says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. You know, we can have ears, but we don't hear. We could have eyes and we don't see. And the Lord is doing something. He is opening us up to a whole new realm in the spirit if we will go in. So I'm going to talk to you a lot. And I spoke to you months ago about this wilderness season that I had been in. And 2018, see, Joey and I differ on New Year resolutions. I actually don't make New Year's resolutions, like, because as soon as I do that, I literally break them like 2 weeks later. So I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions, but I do believe it's a good idea. This is what I do, at least. He can get up here 2 weeks from now when he does have the mic, when he has the mic, and tell you differently. No, I'm just kidding. I was like, you're going to get up there and totally undo everything I said because we differ in this. But what I do, I close out the year and I look back and I'm just reflecting on what season did God have me in? What was he doing? What was he saying predominantly? And as I'm prophetically looking into 2019, where are you taking us, Lord? Where are you taking me as a leader? Where are you taking us as a people? And I do believe, how many of you would say that 2018 for you was a wilderness season? Just raise your hands. Half, maybe almost half. And here's the thing, the wilderness gets such a bad rap. Like we think of the wilderness, you know, one of the definitions is a dry and barren place, but there's another definition that says it's an uncultivated region. Like, I get to go and forge a new path and take new ground in the wilderness. And we talk a lot about mindsets and digging new neural pathways. I'm not really going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to touch on it a little bit. But in this wilderness season, the Lord was teaching me some really deep, deep things. I, for one, am happy to close the door in 2018 and, like, say hello to 2019. Does anyone else, like, feel like, yay, so excited about a new year? So the season that I've been walking in, this past, truly almost about a year, has probably been one of the most difficult seasons in my life. One of the most painful, one of the most, it just was surprising to me. And it literally did kind of start in January last year. But here's the thing, because I've walked in some of these seasons before, I've learned a few things. And what used to knock me down and would probably keep me down and make me lose hope, it doesn't do that anymore. Because I have learned what I allow to prophesy over my life and what I don't. And I will not let pain prophesy the loudest over my life. I will not let fear prophesy the loudest over my life. I have learned that that's why I love that song. What did it say? We're going to prophesy your promise. What does it say? When I only see in part, I will prophesy your promise. I believe you, Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is we're going to prophesy some promises. And we're going to, in the beginning, I want to, we can't leave one season carrying the baggage and the weights of 2018 into 2019, because that doesn't serve us very well, does it? So there's actually some things that the Lord wants us to let go of, and in pre-service prayer, we like did shake it off, so we might do Taylor Swift later too if the band knows it. We actually did that a couple years ago. I think it's made some of the men uncomfortable, but we enjoyed it. There's some things that we have to let go of in order to receive what God has for me in this new season. And I am telling you that God has some amazing, huge, abundant things for you in this new season. Like, there are some fat promises of God that I have not seen the fulfillment of yet that I know that I will see. And sometimes I think it's more about, we're just like waiting on God to do something. Like, I'm down here and God's up there in my thinking, like we're separate somehow, which we're not. We're so at one in union. But sometimes I think that we're thinking, please, God, I want you just to come do something. You move, you do something. When honestly, I feel like sometimes God is waiting on us. Sometimes God is just waiting on me, making a choice. Your choice, your free will, it's one of the most powerful things that God has given you. Choose today who you will serve. Choose today that when you get out of bed, that I am not going to be focused on the pain. And truthfully, with a little T and the facts, I'm still in a lot of pain. And I'm very surprised about my recovery. But that's just a truth with a little T, because the bigger truth is that Jesus is a healer. And I fully believe in his healing. I fully believe in his deliverance. I fully believe that I'm going to get to walk in everything that he has for me and not be some frail, feeble old lady, which is what the enemy keeps telling me I'm going to be. I'm like, no, I won't. I'm going to be strong and fit and go back to boot camp. It's my goal. It's my New Year's resolution. What? 2 weeks. By the way, I really like y'all's seats up here. It's kind of like king and queen. And the Lelands, you've got it too. Yes. I honor you. I'm focused. All right, 2018. I'm going to give you really quickly some main points. I don't usually do this, but Chuck seemed to appreciate it last time, so I'm going to do it again. Quickly, in case I don't get to finish it, my main points. Number one, wilderness is not punishment. It is a good point, thank you. Wilderness is not punishment. The wilderness is not God's disapproval of you. Number two, the wilderness is about supernatural supply. Miracles occur in the wilderness. Deliverance occurs in the wilderness. And by the way, I loved that prophetic word that we just heard. Like, our hearts, and we did deliverance ministry for years before we even actually started the church. We've done inner healing, we've done deliverance and all of that, and it's so our heart. So thank you. That was an awesome prophetic word that I'll talk to you about later. Number three, the wilderness exposes our weaknesses. Four, between every promise and the promised land, there is a wilderness. Everyone has them. Five, the wilderness has a purpose. Oh, are y'all writing? Okay, number four, between every promise and promised land, there is a wilderness. You know what? I do wish I talked slower. People tell me all the time I talk fast. I am going to try to slow down. Number five. People, I'm going to do it again. This is just like bullet points, and then I'm going to come back and fill in. Five. Am I on five? The wilderness has a purpose. Then, this is six, but actually, then we're going to talk about in 2019, I hear the word occupy, that it is the year to occupy, that we get to go in and possess the land. So we get to go in and take spoil, things the enemy has stolen. We actually get to take it back and have abundance. Like, the word abundance is just highlighted everywhere. So 2019, you're going to go in, you're going to possess the land. We're going to inherit our promises. And so at the end, we're going to talk a little bit about, how do you do that? How do I inherit? How do I receive my inheritance that has already been given? How do I access it? How do I receive it? And then at the end, we're going to get to do some rejoicing and worshiping, and the band's going to come back up here, and we're going to have a hoedown party. It's going to be awesome. So 2018, a wilderness season, it actually was a good thing. The wilderness is not punishment. The wilderness is actually a transition season into new territory. It's actually a season that you're gaining new authority, and it actually means that you're in for an upgrade. If we learn its lessons. Like, I can walk through a season, and you know what? It takes a lot of courage It takes a lot of trust and it takes humility to be able to walk in a season and actually learn the lesson that it's trying to teach me. And I got to be brave enough to let go of some of the things that God is highlighting for me, some of the things he's putting his finger on. I actually have to be brave to let go of some of those things and then step into the new territory, step into the new thing that he wants to give me. Isaiah 43, 19 says, behold, Isaiah 43, 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. You know, we could say, isn't God always doing a new thing? Yes, he is. But do you perceive it? See, sometimes we need to get a new lens. That word perceive means to know by experience, by seeing. God can be doing a new thing, and I am just completely oblivious to it for whatever reason. And I feel like in this season that we have been in, the Lord has been sharpening our discernment. See, it takes discernment to know what season you're in. That's actually wisdom and discernment operating together to know which season you're in, to know what God has been doing in it, and to know where he's taking you. And so for us to be able to perceive the new thing, I have to sharpen my discernment, sharpen the senses of my discernment, which is what Hebrews 5 something says. I don't know where, it's Ephesians 5. And so I believe that many of this that I've talked to this whole last year, like the heat has been turned up, you know? Like, it's kind of like that frog in boiling water. And, you know, I just want to keep jumping out and learn my lesson. But it's like, no, like it's been a slow burn, like a slow boil. And the heat's been turned up. And there's a lot of people that have gone through a lot of things. But what's happening is if you've been experiencing anxiety, if you've been experiencing depression, if you've seen fear, the Lord has exposed it. It's like not hiding anymore. It's out there. It's very obvious so that we get to shake that stuff off, maybe have some people come in and agree with us. And in women's Bible study, what I love about women's Bible study, and this is a plug, is it's interactive. We don't just like teach and worship. We actually sit around and we have broken some powerful agreements. We've broken some unholy alliances that we've made. Like agreements with lies that I made that have held me bondage and captive to the very thing that I hate. So we get to break those things, and then we get to make powerful declarations and promises, and we gather together and we agree with each other. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And if you agree on touching on earth anything that's in heaven, it will be done for you. So God wants us to ask. He's a good father. It delights me when my children open the presents I get them. I'm a huge Christmas person. I love to give presents. And it would make me so sad if I spent all of this time and money and got all these presents wrapped, which everyone knows is a chore, and they just sat there. Didn't even care to open them. Didn't want to use them. Didn't want to do anything. It delights the Father to pour his goodness out on us, in gifts, in promises, and he wants us to access them, live in them, use them, enjoy them, because he's a good father. Thanks, Hyde. So, I'm recognizing in this last season some old coping mechanisms that I didn't even really realize how strongly I used them. And it's some of those things that the Lord is asking me to let go of. And for me, it's been relying on my own just natural ability. And I know I said this a couple of months ago, but I don't think I really realized how much I can just get done on my own gumption, on my own gifting, my own natural ability, because I just tend to power through, you know? And hear me. See, this is what's hard about being up here, because you don't really know, like some of you don't know me at all. So I'm not saying that I wasn't digging into this for revelation and operate from that place, but what I am saying is I could skirt by on talent or natural ability, if you will, easier than just recognizing my complete and absolute surrender and dependence upon him for every breath that I breathe. Does that make sense? Sometimes I'm aware when I'm saying things and you're like, what is she talking about? It's that God wants to be completely like all in my life. And when I am completely dependent, when I recognize my dependence, and I told y'all when I was getting my therapy done and all the physical therapists that would come to my house and the nurses and everybody, and they all would tell me the same thing. We can tell you're a go-getter, you're a type A person, you just power through and you keep on going. And I'd be like, you don't even know me, how do you know that? And that one little nurse who said, you know, listen, God wants to get to the main thing. Like, he's so good, like, you think you're in control, but you're not really in control. God's just letting you think you are. Well, I wouldn't have told you that control was an issue of mine, but you know what? Enough people said it, and if three people call you a jackass, buy a saddle. I said that only for a private joke. I shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have said it. Sorry. If that offended you, I'm sorry. Who's offended? Tell me later. Believe me, I can offend you a lot worse than that. Focus. So here's the thing. I wouldn't have told you that control was an issue for me. And I've actually dealt with it. You know, we only control when we're afraid. You know that? We try to control our environment when there's fear going on. And I might be able to only control this thing in my home. I might only be able to control my physical body. I might, and we'll do that. And I've dealt with some of that in my past, but I'm telling you, the Lord is taking it on a whole deeper level. Really deep. Really deep. It's like that onion, and it can be super painful, but I'm telling you, it's super sweet, and it's super powerful. The wilderness is about supernatural supply. God wants to give you bread. He wants to give you wine. He wants to pour himself out. There is water in the desert, but when I've just been going along just as fast as I can, powering through, not recognizing my own dependency, then I miss it. Like, I miss it. And that might look really different for different people. Like, for me, it might look one way. For you, it might look like, you know, charging ahead on that business deal or that promotion you're trying to get or the business deal without really talking to God about it. It might be like, for me, it might be just deciding that I'm going to just use yesterday's manna to come and preach a sermon when actually I could have just taken time to sit at his feet and he just would have given me a whole new download. You know what happened to the manna in the wilderness if they didn't pick it up every day? It just disappeared. You know what happened to the quail? Do you know? Rotted, maggots. Like, we are meant to live by daily bread. Like, he has fresh bread. He has fresh daily bread. And so when I am powering through, I'm actually missing on that very thing that he wanted to give me in the moment. See, the wilderness is about intimacy. I've learned to lean in. Like, I'm inclining my ear to hear what you're saying to me in this moment, in this very moment. And when I will operate from that position, his way is so much better than mine. I'm going to get ahead, so I'm going to stop there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. I need to recognize hunger and thirst. Like, I don't go very long without eating. I don't really like fasting. Like, do you go hungry? Like, have you ever been so, so thirsty? Like, I literally carry water with me everywhere I go, but like, it's a good place to be desperate, to be hungry, to be thirsty, because he wants to pour himself out. He wants to so fill me up that it's not even a thought to me anymore just to power through and go my own way and, you know, my own gumption. That his miraculous supply that's so available in the wilderness, like he said, I'll make a way in the wilderness, I'm going to pour out water, I'm going to show you a river. That is where I learn my very breath comes from and my very bread. And number three is that the wilderness exposes our weaknesses. And my old coping skills, which I just told you some of them, it's like an automatic default. And if when we talk about mindsets and brain science stuff, we've talked about neuropathways, and an automatic default or an old coping mechanism or defense mechanism is something that we automatically go into and we don't even realize we're doing it anymore because it's just second nature. You know, it's just that rut in the road you just continue to fall into. And so if I am going to be able to shift that, I have to choose to go a new way. I have to choose to operate according to a different standard and path with God. And when one day and one morning, I wasn't asking, but the Lord just so spoke to me. And he said, listen, Kelly, when you do that, when you keep operating out of your old coping skills, and when you keep operating and out of that automatic default, he said, you're like a broken cistern that can hold no water. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 2. I can't remember the verse. I knew that's what he was referring to. He said, you're like a broken cistern that can hold no water. And if I don't take the time to stop and go deep, allow those, get to the deep roots of why do I respond the way I do when he says something to me or she says, why do I react like this? Why did I want to avoid that conversation? I could have called it wisdom, or was it fear of confrontation? Why do I keep operating in these deep roots? And he said, you're like a broken cistern, and when you do that, I am forsaking the fountain of living waters. The Lord said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out cisterns for themselves that can hold no water. We weren't meant to operate that way. I don't know if y'all have seen it. I think it is so beautiful. There's Japanese art, and the name of it is kintsugi. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's the art form of repairing broken pottery with gold. Have y'all seen it? And it emphasizes the piece of pottery's cracks and breaks and flaws instead of disguising them, or instead of throwing the piece of pottery away. And according to their philosophy, the piece is thought to be even more beautiful than before. And the Japanese philosophy basically says it calls for seeing beauty in the flaws or in the imperfect. So if you've seen it, you can just see exactly where that crack is, and it's just filled with beautiful gold. So there's this turquoise vase, and it has gold all where the cracks are. And see, for so long, I went around so desperately needing to hide my flaws, hide my cracks. Like, don't let you see them, you know? Like, I'm doing this big, I'm neat. What's his name? And Neo in The Matrix. But I had this deep need. Like, I needed to please you. I needed to be perfect. Listen, I'm not saying I didn't need to do perfectly, because I am not a perfectionist. Like, I'm totally okay that I didn't get that job done well, because I either want to do it well or I'm going to bow out altogether. But it was that I needed to be perfect. You hear what I'm saying? I needed to be a good girl, because you grow up in the South, it's like, be a good girl, be a good girl. And the message is, so I need to be good in and of myself. Apart from Christ, it's exhausting, right? So to please everyone and to perform and to be perfect, never allowing God to come in and beautifully fill those cracks and flaws and breaks with his gold, with his glory, with all of who he is. See, what makes you really beautiful is actually that stuff. It is actually the hard stuff that you've been through, the painful stuff, the breaks, the cracks, the flaws that we might want to hide. But when God comes in, he turns that into something so beautiful, and that's who you are. And I think if we would not be so afraid of it and run from it and hide from it, because that's what we do, like hide and self-protect and want to keep people out. But actually in community, when we see that stuff, that's the good stuff. Like when I know that, when you're vulnerable or I'm vulnerable and I bring you into my world and tell you this is what's causing me pain, this is what's gone on, or this is my junk. And when I'm allowing God to get to some deep places, or maybe I need a friend, maybe I need them to tell me, hey, have you considered this? That's being filled in, and that is beautiful in God's sight. It is beautiful in community. So my knee surgery and my recovery has pretty much exposed my cracks. And what it made me realize is I can't power through anymore. I really can't just keep going in my own strength. I have a little bit less stamina, and that's okay. And I'm learning, I'm still learning, obviously, because I'm still talking fast, but I'm learning to slow down and be and just sit with it and be okay. Like, I don't have to say yes to everything. You know, I think one of the things that we do, and in the past, what I could race ahead in, is say yes to everything and be absolutely exhausted and then resent people for demanding my time when I've actually just said yes way more than I ever should have. Do you know what I mean? Whose fault was that? Like, learning to set boundaries, learning to say no, learning that I don't have to be all things to all people at all times. Like, that's God's job, right? So it's good. So in the wilderness, my weaknesses are being exposed, and it's good. Number four, between every promise and the promised land is a wilderness. Everyone does have one, both the Israelites and Jesus. From getting this huge promise from God, both of them, God led into the wilderness right away. We're going to look at that in a minute. The Israelites, what did God promise them? He was going to give them land. God was going to give the Israelites the land of Canaan, and he promised that he was going to drive their enemies out before them and give them this land. But there were giants in the land. Do you think that that escaped God's notice? Do you think he was like, oh, yikes, I didn't realize there's giants in the land? No, God knew exactly what he was doing when he told them to go in and take the land. And so the spies go in to spy out the land, and they discover that there's Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites and Canaanites in the land. And I think I said this last time, but I didn't give you the definition. Do you know that those, if you look at the root word, they actually mean something? And I believe that it actually is a prophetic message for us if we will grab a hold of it, that these are the ites that he wants to completely drive out of your land. That there is grace and there is authority to drive those things out of our land. They're squatters. They don't have rights. They don't own the title. There's no authority for them to stay there, so we get to kick them out. Hittites means terror, fear, or dread. Jebusites means downtrodden, rejection. Amorites means to boast in one's heart. What does that sound like? Pride. Canaanite means to be humbled, to be brought low, to be depressed. See, these are Old Testament examples, and in 1 Corinthians it says that these things were written down for our instruction, that we might not desire evil as they were. That these things that happened to them in the Old Testament, that happened to the Israelites, we get to learn from them so we don't make the same mistakes. So if this is an old type and shadow and a part of the new covenant, how much more should those things not be in our land? Like, I possess my land. There's things that don't have a right to be there. And so tonight, at the end, we're going to kick those things out. We're going to shake them off. We're going to let them go. We're going to pray for each other. And I fully believe in your deliverance. I fully believe that God wants you to walk into 2019 so much lighter and skinnier. So I've told you what they mean, right? Yes. So we're going to look at that a little bit more. 2019, yeah, it's a year of inheritance. 2019 is a year of promises fulfilled, dreams fulfilled, things that you know, it's like you're right on the cusp of. And I feel like God is just, you're just about to part through the Red Sea and be out on the other side. So do we know how to inherit promises? Like, that used to frustrate me. I'd hear about like these big promises, or I'd get these huge prophetic promises, but I didn't really know how to inherit them. Now, obviously, we receive them, right? But I didn't know if there was any partnership that I played. Like, is there anything that I do to inherit promises, or do I just sit around and wait for God just to do it and perform it? No. So we're going to talk about that. And if you turn to Numbers 13, God, we haven't even opened the Bible yet. Gosh, that's just not. Okay. What time is it? It is so dark. I don't know. It is. Well, no, I think he can only open those, and then y'all would be dark out there, right? Just a little bit. Thank you, Jesse. I am focused. He is the focus police. Oh, so much better. I can see my notes. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Yes, thank you. Numbers 13. So the Lord promised land to Israel, and we're not going to read it, but remember, God told Moses to send out spies into the land, and the spies were actually like the leaders of the tribes. They weren't just some little peon person. There's no such thing as peon persons in God's eyes, but these were like leaders of the tribes. They had authority, like they had wisdom, and he sends them out to go and spy out the land. And do you know that the fruit in the land, it says that one cluster of fruit was so large that they had to put it on a pole, and it took two men carrying it back to show them how good the land was. Like, that's a pretty good fruit, right? Like, this land really was flowing with milk and honey. It really was abundant. And they went and they saw that. But verse 28 in Numbers 13 says, however, the people are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, there are ites in the land. There are giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers to them. Do you know that if the lens that you see through, the perception that you have of yourself is that you are a grasshopper, you will always be a grasshopper. I submit to you that the thing that you're going through right now, the size of the giant that you are facing right now, is directly proportionate to the call of God in your life. I believe that it is directly proportionate to the size of how God sees you. Are you going through some big stuff? Yes, we have been. We have. Who's faced some big giants? Who is facing right now, like, big giants? Like, there's big, scary stuff. It could be debt. It could be fear of failure. It could be fear of launching out in your own business and leaving corporate world. It could be fear that your children aren't really going to, like, serve God with all their heart. Is it infertility? Is it loneliness? There's some like big giants that people are staring down. And you know, little David, when David was young, like, you know what? He went up to that huge, Goliath had been the whole armies of Israel. They were freaking out and afraid of him. And David comes from out of taking care of his father's sheep to bring his brother some lunch. And with a slingshot and a few rocks, he takes that giant down. And you know what he says? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And how dare him defy the army of the living God? You know what he's saying? He doesn't have a covenant. You're an uncircumcised Philistine. There is no covenant. We have a covenant with God. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ purchased your covenant by his blood. It is sure. It is strong. You can take it to the bank. And do you know what that is for you? Do you know that healing is your birthright? Deliverance is your birthright. Walking free, being prosperous, mind and body, soul and spirit is your birthright by covenant. So the giant in front of you with just a slingshot and a few rocks, we can take it down tonight. And we're going to. So when the Israelites came back and gave that report, and it says they gave a bad report, and God had regard for Caleb and the spirit of Caleb. And you know why? I'm going to look at it in Numbers 14. Turn to Numbers 14. Yes, turn to Numbers 14. This is why God had regard for Caleb and commended him for in his spirit. He says in verse... Well, I don't know. I thought so, but let's just say I'm going to read it. Oh, there it is. No, it's in Numbers 13. No wonder. Numbers 13, 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able." See, I can look at the giants in the land and I can say, you know, I know God promised that for me. I know God promised health for my body. I know God promised that I'm not going to be just racked with debt and strangled by it the rest of my life. But I don't really think I can possess that promise. So I'm just going to, like, go back to Egypt. How many times do we do that? Caleb quieted the people. He's like, no. Listen, we are well able to go in and occupy the land. He goes on to say in chapter 14, he says, this land, and this is verse 6, I think, the land which we pass through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. See, he knew it was sustenance. That giant is your sustenance. Whatever is facing you down right now is actually going to cause the thing that makes you grow up in stature. You're actually going to grow in authority. You're actually going to grow in character of Christ-likeness. If I had never been through some stuff, the season I'm in now would have taken me out. But because I've learned, I'm not letting that stuff prophesy over my life. What is prophesying over my life is the word of God. It's what he has said. It's in here. So like, if I don't know this, it is alarming to me. And I didn't write it down. I forgot the statistics. But like, so many people like, don't have a value for the word anymore. And I feel like God is saying, let's get back to the basics. Like, do you know this word? Like, I love this word. There's a verse in Jeremiah. It says, I found the word and I ate it. And it became a joy and a delight to me. So my deal is that I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I need to because I want to do some other stuff. Will you remind me to go back to Jesus and then we'll, you know, whatever. Thank you. So I don't have to slow down. I can keep going. Okay. Thank you. Stop. I'm going to say what I was going to say in just a minute because I can't. Number 5, the wilderness has a purpose. Oh no, I need to read you this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And I'm going to read it in the Passion. I highly recommend you get the Passion translation if you don't have it. 1 Corinthians 10. See, Joshua and Caleb knew and understood that those giants were their sustenance, were their bread. It was supernatural provision, supernatural supply. They knew it was going to make them stronger. And God always, in the wilderness, or when you're facing a giant, or when something is in front of you that you think might take you out, he promises that he's going to make a way for you in it. And in 1 Corinthians 10, and I like in the Passion, verse 13 says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape, and that will bring you out of it victoriously. See, he doesn't want you just to go limping out. He wants to take you out victoriously. Like, he has provided a way of escape, the purpose of the wilderness. And it's what we see with Jesus' life. Jesus gets this huge promise for the Father. He's baptized by John the Baptist. He comes out of the water. The heavens are opened. Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and rests and remains upon Jesus. And a voice speaks from heaven. It says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And immediately it says in Matthew 4, it says, then Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, what? To be tested. See, the promises of God, the word that you get, it's meant to be tested. It's a good thing. It is not punishment. It does not mean that God is mad at you. It does not mean that he is disapproving of you. The word test, that's dokimazo, actually means testing. As a refiner of gold tests metals with a view of approval. See, the old lens that I grew up with was that God is a punishing God and that, you know, I mean, I just better toe the line. At any moment, he's going to, like, smack me. And so everything that I read, I was reading it with a view of disapproval. And I thought that that's what a test was about. Well, I'm being tested because I've screwed up, because I'm bad, I'm not being a good girl. So I thought a test was that I was going to fail because I was in trouble. When in fact, that word test in the original language means with a view of approval, because God approves of you. His favor is all over you. His approval is all over you. He is cheering you on. He wants you to pass. He's provided a way of victory and escape. When I will take that thing in and know and learn the lessons from it, because I'm inclining my ear to hear what he's saying, I'm looking to see what he's doing in this season, that thing is strengthening me. It is developing character in me. I am taking fat fruit out that we'd have to carry on a pole walking out of this building. That's what he's doing in the test for you. So what happens immediately? Holy Spirit, what's the test? The promise is, you are my son. I love you so much. I am so proud of you. Like, doesn't that make your heart, like, have you heard your father say that? Like, he says it for all to hear. That's the promise. And what is the test? What does the enemy, the accuser, say? If you are the son of God, right? What did he say to Adam and Eve? Did God really say? Did God really promise you? You know, are you really sure that you're not just going to be a crippled old lady the rest of your life? Are you really sure that God said that he wants to make you debt free? Did God really say that? If you are the son of God. See, every word from God has to be tested. It's meant to be tested. Probably the biggest prophetic word that we've got spoken over our life was, oh, I don't even know now, 20 years ago or so, and it just... You know when you get those words, it just so resonated with us. It resonated with everyone around us. It was a life-changing word. And basically the word was, you're going to have a storehouse. Joey's going to have a storehouse, Joseph's storehouse. And there's so much need, but you have so much provision that literally you don't even have to like look for what's going to come from, but you just reach behind you and you're going to feed many. That was the word. Like, you literally just get to look, not look behind, but grab from behind you, and you're going to feed many. Well, honestly, I just thought, we're about to just inherit millions of dollars. Like, we're about to just, like, rake it in, or Joey's going to make. Do you know that immediately we moved to Austin right after that word, and we went into the hardest season of testing of our entire life? We went into 4.5 years of such testing, but do you know what? We left Austin, and we came back here so much stronger. The character that God developed in us and what we thought it looked like, do you know you're living in it right here? Like what I thought, and not saying it won't be millions of dollars, but that God, the storehouse, and you'll feed many. Look at Kingdom Life. Joey did not have KM Capital. He was working in the corporate world, which he was not, I don't want to say suited for. Joey's a leader. Like he's always wanted to start his own business. So he starts KM Capital in our living room in Austin, and then today he's getting to serve clients and athletes all across the country. That is the provision of God. If that word, if we weren't tested because of the word, if no testing had happened, we would not be able to bear up under the strength of it. You know what I'm saying? Think about the words that you have. Y'all have got to move on. Are y'all good just for staying a few minutes later so we can like worship and get delivered and dance? Okay. Okay. Mark 4, for sake of time, Mark, the sower sows the word. Verse 17 says, some people are like those who have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, but then when tribulation comes, on account of the word. You can look it up, Mark 4, verse 17. But when tribulation comes, on account of the word, immediately they fell away and are offended. See, tribulation comes to test the word, and God wants you to succeed. Jesus gave us a promise. He said, in me, well, he says, I've said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So there's a couple of things there. Number one, we will have tribulation. Number two, in Jesus, we have peace. And guess what? We are in Jesus and he is in us. We're not separate. He's not far away. We're like as close as we can be. So peace, I live from a place of peace. And Jesus overcame the world. So we get to live from that finished work of the cross. That peace is my resting place. That I actually got to live in union with him from a place of peace. So everything that I'm facing, I am not facing it alone. He, the presence of peace, is in me. Matthew 4:4 talks about Jesus' response, and this is my focus for 2019, to watch what I eat, not physically. Jesus' response to the accusation, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." What is the word of God over your life? We're supposed to eat and feast on the word, on the voice of God. So what has he said to you? Do you know? Write it down. What is he saying right now? Some of the most profound prophetic words I've gotten are in the Bible. Like, they leapt out at me. They were highlighted. I dated it. I wrote it down in my journal. I memorized it. I ate it. I spit it back out. I ate it again. It's in me now. It's so a part of me, and God spoke it to me. So I don't have to have somebody come in and give me a prophetic word. My fear is that I'm so thankful and love that we have created a vibrant, healthy prophetic culture. But it is not healthy to run around always thinking that you need another person to tell you what God is saying about your life. That's not healthy. God wants to talk to you. I want to have fellowship with Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to be communing with him on a daily basis and learning his voice. It is awesome, and I love it, and we are all about it, encouraging prophetically. But number one prophetically is, do I know his voice? My whole life, I've been a word girl. The word was sown into me at a very, very early age. Like, I am a seedbed of potentiality. Like, literally, my mom would write scriptures out and put them on my mirror, and she would put it in my school books, and, like, scriptures were everywhere. And I would read them, sometimes very annoyed because I was a teenager, and it drove me nuts because thought I wasn't doing right, which I wasn't. But like the word, I took the word in. It was so in me. She was giving to me something. All she knew was to do that. We were taught against the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I knew to read the word. And this is embarrassing, and I've confessed it to some of my friends, and this might offend you too, so I'm sorry. But I, in high school, and I was not living right, I would come home, but by golly, I knew that I had to have a quiet time. But I'd been out drinking. So I would just have my quiet time. I'd come home and be like, I need to have my quiet time. And I would be like this. But I'm in the word. And do you know what? I was so embarrassed and so ashamed. And God spoke so sweetly to me years ago. And he said, Kelly, that is all you knew to do at the time. But it so pleased me that you came to me. He said, I received that as an offering. See, I was doing out of religion all I needed to do. But he received it as a sacrifice, as an offering by grace, because it's who he is. He's a good father. So if you are being so critical and beating yourself up for past failures, past mistakes, things you've done, if you're thinking, well, I got us into this situation, I got myself into this situation, I'm telling you, he's pouring out grace for you. So I had so much seed lying in me that when I got filled with the Spirit, I mean, everything changed. Like, that seed just got saturated and came leaping out. And I'm so grateful because Isaiah 55 says that just like rain and snow come down from heaven and it goes to the ground and it waters it, it says that it does not, I don't know, this is a terrible paraphrase, but it says that it does not return to him void, but it will accomplish the thing for which he sent it. So I'm telling you right now, every one of you has a word, and it's like a little container, and it's carrying the life force of that word in it. It has all of the energy, all of the potential necessary to fulfill it within that word, if I will what? Believe it. Romans 4 says, Abraham believed God. How does it go? Abraham believed God. It means he was fully persuaded of God's words. And then his faith transferred righteousness into his account. So that tells me I need to be fully persuaded about some things. I need to make some transfers into my account. Faith inherits the promises. And how does faith come? I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith that he has given to you. And I'm not going to read some of them in Hebrews 11 because I want to finish with some ministry time. But my faith is not in the promise. My faith is in the promisor. You have a promissory note. It's only as good as the one who gave it. And guess what? He's good at his word. So my faith that he has given to me, that I live from, I am believing him. And I just want to finish with this scripture, and then we're going to do some ministry. Psalm 37 is so awesome in the Passion Translation. Are y'all good and with me? And have you gone to sleep? Please. No? Okay, good. Psalm 37, verse 3. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. See, I get to feast on his word, but I also get to feast on his faithfulness. And I'm telling you, that is all he knows how to be. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy that says, even when I am faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. See, he's fully persuaded about you. He has got all the faith in the world for you. I need to get in alignment with that. Like, what does God believe to be true about me? What does God say about me? What is the faith that he has? I get to feed off of that. I get to feed off of his faithfulness. I get to feed off of his word. And I'm writing those things down. I'm believing them. I'm getting into the word. I'm knowing the character of God. So here's what I want to do. I'm good. I want you to write down, if y'all don't do that, you can write it down right now, you can write it down later, but what are you fully persuaded about your life right now? Like, what do you know? Rock solid, fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded about this. This is for sure. And what are you fully persuaded about coming in your new season, in this new year? What do you know God said? Number two, what are the things that he's asking you to let go of? I told you some ites. We've recognized some giants that might be in your way. What are some of those things that God is asking you to let go of that are actually dead weight that you don't need to carry into 2019? It is already 2019, but this is the first Sunday we've had together. So see, in the wilderness, I learned some things about myself. And in my biggest tests, in the biggest trials, it's what God spoke to my heart that you can't take that away from me now. It is my inheritance. Like, I am so fully persuaded about some of the things that God has said to me. Like, it's in me. It is alive. The word is alive in you. It is my inheritance now, and he's got more for me, and he's got more for you. He wants you to be fruitful. That brings him glory. So, in a second, y'all don't have to come up yet, but I'm going to call the worship team to come back up. But if you find yourself in a wilderness season, it probably means you're in for an upgrade. Who doesn't want an upgrade? Like, I'm always begging to get moved and upgraded to first class. Like, please, God, please let me be upgraded. You're in for an upgrade. We all want the miracles. We all want the supernatural supply. But am I willing to embrace the season that I'm in right now and learn from it? You know, tribulation means pressing. The good stuff comes in the pressing. So am I willing to recognize the season I'm in now and actually have the discernment and the wisdom to know what it means? What is he doing? And here's the thing I've learned. I have to keep my heart tender towards God. And I have to remain unoffended. You know, we can sometimes get offended with God. I've learned to remain undefended, to learn and stay in a place of being tender-hearted. I have to stay in hope. Hope is expecting good things to come. I want to hang around hope-filled people who are reminding me of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and knowing he's going to show up for me. And I've also really learned in this season to grow and intimacy. So right now, what is the predominant thing prophesying over your life? I'm not going to lie, pain was prophesying really loudly several months ago. But I am not giving it the authority to do that anymore. So what is the predominant thing that is prophesying over your life? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it envy? Is it lust? Sickness? Pride? See, we get to take those things captive and make them obey Christ. See, fear, when I take fear prisoner and I literally handcuff it and I drag it to King Jesus, fear will not pass the test. Fear will not stand. And so those things, I am daily, I'm taking them captive. I'm making them my prisoner. That's why I love that song, Fear Can Go to Hell and Shame Can Too. It's what he wants to do, and that is what he's doing tonight. So let me call the wilderness team. It's prophetically speaking. Wilderness team, come up. Worship team, I'm not prophesying that over you. There you go. So here are some things you might be letting go of. Compromise, complaining, distractions, disappointment, bitterness, unforgiveness, judgment, being critical. I have a lot of things that I could have shared that I've been going through in 2018, but I feel like the Lord, what he wants to do is he showed me two groups of people. And as I've been talking about my own wilderness and some of the giants that might be facing you that I've faced, there's two groups of people that I really believe the Lord wants to minister to tonight. And it's some of you have been just really disappointed. Like, just really disappointed. Like, things just have not gone the way that you thought they would. The way that you thought that they should. And if that's you, just stand up. Like, just disappointed, you know? Not freaking out, but I've just been super disappointed. Disappointed in myself, disappointed in God, disappointed in others. And so we're going to pray for you. But then there's a second group, and I feel this so strongly, but some of you, you're just so discouraged. Like, it's beyond even disappointment now. Like, you're just tired. Like, you just feel really, really weary. You know, like, it's just been a long season. It's just been a long time. And you feel super weary and super discouraged and super tired. Like, you know, like, I just might not make it. And I'm here, I'm telling you, don't quit. Like, do not quit. Like, I see you. God sees you. And sometimes we don't know that I am just on the precipice. Like, I'm right here. And I don't know that when I step off, like, there's the abundant supply and provision. And so y'all can, like, play, and then, because we're going to, and then we'll minister into something else. But if y'all just want to play a little bit, and we'll pray. I'm going to pray for them. Okay, so this is what I want y'all to do. If you're standing, I want to pray for you. But I also want the people around you to pray for you. So if you see someone, I want you to go up to them, and you're just going to say, I'm disappointed, or I'm discouraged, or this is, you know. And team, I want you just to bless them with the goodness of God. Let me tell you something. There is hope that is cascading over you right now, because I can see it, I can feel it. The expectancy of God is right there. So first I do, I just take authority right now over all unlawful, ungodly discouragement. I just break off, and I'm telling you to shake it off. I break off, and you shake off all despondency, all despair, disappointment, and discouragement has to go in Jesus' name. All fear, all anxiety, all oppression, and all depression has to go in Jesus' name. Every unlawful, illegal intruder, every squatter who has no rights You have to go in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, you get to possess your land. Holy Spirit, will you so just move right now? Holy Spirit, saturate with your goodness, with your faithfulness, with your kindness, with your mercy, with your tender heart. Holy Spirit, will you so rain down on every single person in this place? Would you saturate the seed that is inside of them? You are a seedbed of potentiality. The seed that is in you is being germinated and saturated and is springing up to abundant life. Hope in God. He is showing up for you. So Father, I just thank you, Lord. And we just right now, we just pour courage into you. We just bless you. We just declare the hope of God, the beauty, the kindness, the faithfulness of God who shows up. You're not an absent father. You're right there. You're such a good dad. You're such a good dad. For every person in here who's not gotten to hear from their father, or it could be from your mother, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you so much. I am so proud of you. Like I just hear him saying that over you. I am so proud of you. You're so worthy of my love. You're so worthy of my affection. You're so worthy of my attention. And I just want to stand in a place and ask you to forgive me as a father and forgive me as a mother when I didn't show up for you. Please forgive me when I was not there when you needed me most. Please forgive me if I didn't come to your games, when I didn't pay attention, when you were just being super outstanding. I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Because the truth is, I do love you so much. I have set my seal of affection on you. You are mine. Those that are feeling separate, those that feel other than, like you're always overlooked or you're left outside, I'm telling you it's a lie, and I break that off in Jesus' name. The lie of separation, the lie of disunion, I break that in Jesus' name. And I just tell you that you are in the very heart of the Father, and he is in you. There is no separation. All of God's kindness, all of God's goodness, all of his affection, all of his faithfulness right now, I just see it just washing down over you. So listen, if you need to shake this stuff off, if you need to come down here, like right here is an altar. Like, I want you to come down here and I want you to like leave it here, because we're not gonna carry it with us anymore. It's dead weight. It's baggage you're not meant to carry. The lies, listen, if you're hearing something, you tell the prayer minister right now, you tell them, this is what I'm hearing, and they're gonna break it off of you and they're gonna pour courage into you. That is what the prophetic does. It pours courage into you. It is building you up. So if you need to, come down here. If you need to shake things off, if you need to scream, if you need to dance, if you need to laugh, you get to do what you do. Don't leave this place without doing what you feel deeply in your heart that God wants you to do. We can be undignified.